For those of you who might be visiting with us, I feel like owing an explanation here. I'm not Scott, and normally Scott would be preaching for us. But a few months ago, we had some requests, or we were made aware of some problems that we might be facing in the congregation. So it was determined that we would give two lessons on this topic, and last week, Gene was the first to give the lesson. And if I could roll the clock back a couple of months, I'd probably say, no, let's just do one and let Gene take care of the whole thing. I can tell you I have been somewhat troubled by this because it's not an easy topic to speak upon. And I can't tell you the involvement of the congregation in it. I know that we've had some of you that have come to us and spoken to us about it. And it was what we considered serious enough that we should have these two lessons. My approach tonight is maybe going to be just a little different than Gene's, but it's a topic that, for me, I want to be very tactful. I want to be very clean about it. And yet, it's not a clean topic. And there's some things that we have to say to approach this topic. I'm going to try to use basically the things that God's Word says in regard to this kind of topic. I know when Oliver was speaking a few weeks ago and it had been put up announcing that we were going to speak on pornography, and Oliver said, I saw that up there and I went, and maybe that's your reaction too. And so as we approach the topic, let's just see what we can learn. And let me say this as well. I doubt it if it's something that not everybody in our audience in some way or another has been touched by. And so hopefully by approaching the topic, we can avoid others getting involved in it, or if anybody's involved in it, to certainly get away from it. So the first thing we have to do is really define it. And it's not a new word. It's from the Greek for writing, or writing about a writer about harlots. And the word itself in other languages has been around for ages. But as we define it from the dictionary, it says that it's obscene literature, art, or photography, especially that having little to do with artistic merit. This is a good definition, but I looked at that and I didn't think, well, that doesn't really tell us about what we think about in our society today, what it really means. And for what it really means to us, I think, comes from Google. So I Googled it, and here's what Google says. It's printed or visual material containing the explicit description or display of sexual private parts or activity intended to stimulate erotic rather than aesthetic or emotional feelings. And let me say right up front, and this is going to be the entire thrust of the lesson, this type of literature has no place in a Christian's life. So let's take a look then at pornography and our culture today. you might ask the question, is it worse than it was in other cultures? Because the Romans, the Greeks, and all the societies behind them, every society has been touched by it. And I say the Romans and the Greeks because we have a lot of the relics from that era. And it was very obvious that they had it before their eyes in their streets and in their public display. And it was there to be viewed if one wanted to view it. But is it different for us today? And I think it is, and here's the reason I think it is. It's because of technology, really. We have it piped right into the privacy of our homes. With the click of a finger, where we can see it on our TVs, we can have it on our computers. And not only that, I have one myself, right in the palm of our hand. It makes no difference where we are. It's there and it's available to us. So on everything, so easily, it's so easy for us to access it. It's there with us everywhere we go. I think the availability of porn in our society exceeds anything in any other society that's gone before us. And I say that just because, again, of the availability. Within seconds, we can have it right before our eyes. When I was a young man, it was there. We had pornography. But it was in maybe the written form, a magazine or something, and it took a little effort to go get it. And I guess in that society, we had to hide it a little more. Well, I guess for us, it's easier to hide and easier to access. So in that realm, I think we are different than societies going before us. Just for an example, just a couple of weeks ago, I heard that the computers at North Shore School District had been hacked, and students' emails had been compromised. And guess what? Porn sites were coming up on students' emails, private email accounts. This is the world we live in, and this is what we have to deal with. And you can say, no, I'm going to hide it. I'm going to keep it from my children. We can't do it. It's just impossible. And there are some things I know we can do to help, but we can't keep it out of the sight of our children. And I think it's certainly best that we try to teach them how to handle it, how to stay away from it. So the real question is pornography sin? We're going to approach this from a couple of different angles as we go through here. First of all, I want to look at it in the idea of nudity. And I think most of us understand this. Nudity is exposing ourselves or viewing others who are exposed. And I think most of us, as I say, understand that God intended man to be clothed. Now, I understand before man sinned in the garden that they were not clothed. There was an innocence then, maybe an innocence like in a baby today, in babies or young children today. But when man sinned, even he realized that he needed clothes. So he made clothes of leaves and they put them on. But notice what God did. God made tunics of skin and clothed them. This was in Genesis 3:21. So if there's any question to how God feels about us exposing ourselves, God wants us to be clothed. He made clothes for man. And there's a shame involved with it as well. When Isaiah made a prophecy to Babylon against Babylon, he used an example of nakedness. He said, "Your nakedness shall be uncovered, yes, your shame shall be seen." There's a shame with nakedness. Also in Revelation, it says basically the same thing. It's used for a different example, but it shows that the shame of your nakedness may be revealed. There is a shame with nakedness. And when there is no longer a shame, we've seared our conscience. And again, when we sear our conscience to this degree, certainly we are not pleasing to God. Our conscience is not speaking to us and telling us the shame that's involved in it. It also violates civil law. Now, some of us might question this because sometimes we see it in the public so plainly, we wonder, is there really a law against it? There is really a law against it. There's a law against nudity in public. And I'm not speaking about the innocence of children or even in the marriage relationship, but God didn't intend for us to go out in the streets without any clothes on. And just one other note I might say, and I'm not criticizing art, but sometimes we have to take a look at art for what it really is. Now, there's true art, but then there's art that sometimes I feel is just legalizing nudity. So the question to ask is, does it stimulate the erotic or does it have value in the aesthetic and emotional feelings? And these are questions that maybe we have to answer ourselves as we're looking at modern art. I think here's where it really comes down to, and here's where the sin really comes in. Not that nudity isn't a sin, but this is where the sin really comes in. Pornography equals lasciviousness. Now, this is a big word, and in many of your translations, it's going to be translated lewdness. And lewdness is, it just denotes excess, the absence of restraint, indecency, wantonness, and what we use a lot of times is uncontrolled lust. And I don't know how you would describe pornography as anything but uncontrolled lust. That's just about it for me. I think that pornography equals lasciviousness or lewdness. And the Bible has a lot to say about lasciviousness, and it's in a negative sense always. Matthew or Mark 7 and 22, as you see there, it's one of the evils that proceeded from the heart. 2 Corinthians 12, 21, one of the evils of which some of the church of Corinth had been guilty. Galatians 5:29, classed among the works of the flesh. Ephesians 4:19, among the sins of the unregenerate who are past feeling. And of that which the grace of God has been turned by ungodly men. That's in Jude 4. Lasciviousness is sin, and I think it's very right to say pornography is sin. In 1 John 2:16, there's three worldly things that he mentions there: the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the vainglory of man. The lust of the eyes, this is really how pornography gets into our brain. The definition of eyes is given in several ways in the dictionary, but this one right here, I think, really hits the point with pornography. It's a center of light, intelligence, influence. It's really just a direct line. Our eyes are just a direct line into our brain, is what it winds up being. That's a definition of our eyes. It's one of our senses. And so our vision has a direct line to our brain. In Matthew 6:22, it's the lamp of the body is the eye. And as I said, a direct line to the brain. You know, I think about this, and I think years ago when I was working at before I retired, several years before I retired, a young man I used to work with would come to work every morning, and he'd always stop by and get a latte. He'd pass up about six latte stands to get to the one that he described as having the eye candy. And I think this tells you something about pornography in our eyes. In Matthew 5:27-28, and particularly in verse 28, but I say to you, whosoever looks, this is our eyes once again, at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Visual has a very big part in leading us into fornication or adultery. In fact, vision has almost, I'd say, 99% of the part. In 1 Corinthians 6:18, we're told to flee fornication. Are we fleeing fornication when we drive by about four latte stands to get to the one that has the eye candy in it? Good question to ask. What about, are we fleeing fornication when we put it right there in front of us on our phone or on our computer, or we turn to the channels on the TV that feed it right into our brain, that pornography? And you might argue, so what about, I can't help myself, I can't keep from looking. We're going to deal with a couple of these things I've already mentioned again here, but I'd just like to remind you that in 1 Corinthians 10:13, that's the scripture that says we're not tempted beyond that which we can handle. But with every way, God has given us a way of escape. And so I think that that God will provide, in fact, I know God will provide a way of escape for us. We just need to be ready to take that way of escape and to flee these kind of things. I might say there's a big difference between incidentally seeing something and going ahead and following our lust to get involved with seeing it. And here's a couple of good references right here. In Psalms 101 and 3, it says, I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. This is a psalm of David, and I think David is a good one to take a look at. And as a young man, I could see David thinking these things right here. I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. Proverbs 4:25 says, let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. There's a lot of things we just don't need to look at. God made us male and female. He made us with eyes to see and find pleasure in seeing those of the opposite sex. This is the way He made us. He made each of us this way. But He did give us boundaries, and He said that there are places that we can find fulfillment for this. In Hebrews 13:4, it's very plain in the marriage relationship. And also in 1 Corinthians 7:2-3, we'll talk about that just a little bit more later on. Might just say, when we're looking at pornography, and any form or any way we're looking at it, whether we're married or unmarried, aren't we going outside of the marriage relationship for this fulfillment? Is pornography fornication or adultery? We get in some real rough questions here now. And I will say that we've had to deal with pornography and the involvement in marriage relationships here some, and it brings up some very hard questions. I've got a couple here that I'm not going to give you an answer to. It's something that you're going to have to consider yourself if you need that answer. Vines defines fornication as illicit sexual intercourse or illicit sex acts. And I think this is the more common way that we've described it for many years. It's any illicit sex act. And there are several scriptures that refer to it here. I've listed them. I've outlined a couple here in red in Matthew 5:32 and 19:9, and also just to let you know that it stands for adultery here. And I'm not going to try to get to the difference between adultery, go into it in depth, but just to briefly say, adultery, of course, is when one of the partners are married or both. It's considered adultery. In any other case, it's fornication, and fornication includes adultery. And Vine's definition for adultery is one who has unlawful intercourse with a spouse of another. And again, I want to point out Matthew 5:27-28. And here he's speaking about the person that looks after a woman to lust after her has committed adultery already in his heart. Talk about that just a little bit more. And another very hard question, does pornography give grounds for spiritual divorce? You might not think this is real, but it is. It's been something that we've had to face right here, and it's real. And I might just say, if you're in a marriage situation and you're looking at pornography, consider it, because it's a very real question out there. In Matthew 19:9, whosoever divorces his wife except for fornication or sexual immorality, and this would be adultery, does pornography constitute fornication or sexual immorality or adultery as described in Matthew 5:32 and 19:9? And then go back to Matthew 5:27-28. And there's where Jesus says, he who looks at a woman to lust for her get back to those eyes again. Let me talk about that just a bit. You know, looking at is neutral. It really is. Any one of us can go out the door here, and I'll speak in behalf of the men. If we go out the door and there is a woman out there, a very beautiful woman, I'm quite sure that every man will notice that woman. He will look. And that is a neutral part of what Jesus said there. But the second part, to lust after her. The way I've always understood this, and the way I feel it really is that Jesus is talking here, is this is a lust that has led us into a desire so great that the only reason the act hasn't been committed is because the opportunity hasn't presented itself. So if we are looking at pornography, and we're looking at it and lusting to the point that the only reason that the act itself hasn't been committed is because the opportunity hasn't availed itself, it presents a great big problem as to whether we have committed adultery. I can't read a man's heart. I can't read anybody's heart. So it might be the question that we have to answer just for ourselves. Might just say a couple things here. This is going to be, I'm going to look at this two times, but I want to just say some things that it sounds like a conclusion. It's not. I'm not done yet. You might say, Steve, sit down. You said enough. But first of all, if we're involved in looking at nudity for erotic stimulation, it is shameful, it's wrong, and it's a sin. If pornography has led us into uncontrolled sexual lust, lasciviousness, this is a Bible word, then we are committing a sin that will not let us inherit the kingdom of God. That's in Galatians 5, listed there with many other sins, 19 through 21. If we are involved in these activities, then we're on the road leading to, if not already there, fornication, sexual immorality, and this includes adultery. It's just exactly the same if we're looking at pornography. That's where it's going to lead us. If we're out here and we're going down the road and the sign says Seattle straight ahead, we continue straight ahead, we're going to go right into Seattle. I want to look at a couple other things here now. I don't want to turn this into a marriage counseling session, but I want to talk about pornography and how it relates to certain groups. First of all, husbands, because this is perhaps the biggest and the hardest thing that we face here is with husbands. The Bible has a lot to say to husbands, and we need to heed it. In Ephesians 5:25, it says, "Love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it." This means that he should be willing to give her life for her wives. And I tell you, this is a love that perhaps none of us have been tested on. Maybe few have. But this is the kind of love that we need to have for our wives. And we have to ask ourselves, if we're looking at pornography, is this the kind of love that are we showing this kind of love to our wife? What does this say about our love for our wives when we're looking at porn, looking at nudity, or other women? And here's the point. We're stealing from them. You ever think about that? I don't know. I don't know if anybody here is looking at it. But let's put it this way. I know that pornography's out there. Men are spending time looking at pornography. What we need to do is take that time, if we're looking at pornography, and dedicate that to our wives. Wouldn't it be something if all that time that we spend looking at pornography, if we just took it and dedicated it to doing something nice for our wives instead of looking at pornography? In Genesis 3:16, you know, God said three things to the woman after she sinned. And the first is what we remember real well, and that is that you'll have pain in childbirth. But he said something else. He said, your desire shall be to your husband, and he shall rule over you. This is built into ladies. This is built into women. This is a desire that they have. But it puts a responsibility on us as husbands. Do we want our wives to respect us and show us the type of love that Christ had for the church? We need to give her the attention that she so much desires and needs. And that's not looking at pornography. We need to take that time and give it to our wives. Think of her, not the porno scenes on the internet. Do you want her to follow your leadership? Show her the type of love and leadership that desires, that deserves her allegiance to you. Put it right back into pornography. If we're doing that, is that giving her the leadership that she should give you her allegiance? Show her the type of love or leadership if we're looking at porn, what does that say about our leadership, really? Looking at the nudity of other women and lusting after other women is not showing love, not to our wives. In 1 Peter 3:7, it says, you husbands, in like manner, dwell with your wives according to knowledge, giving honor unto the woman. Knowledge is knowing her, the needs and the likes that she has, giving her your time, your attention. Maybe it's bringing her flowers, taking her places where she likes to go, listening to her, helping her at home, finishing the honey-do list. These are all things that we can give to our wives. I know that some years ago, we were involved in a situation where a young man and a young woman were having rough times, going through times, and pornography was part of it. And I just remember, he said, you know, he said, I took her to McDonald's and out to a soccer game. And he said, I couldn't understand it. She showed no romance. He thought he'd taken her on a romantic evening. This is not knowing your wife. We need to know our wives. We need to live with her with knowledge. Sometimes we selfishly do those things for us and think our wives enjoy them. And certainly I can tell you, there's not one woman that I know that would desire that her husband look at pornography. I might just say a few things to the wives, and I said I'm not trying to get into marriage counseling or anything like that, but still, let me make it real plain here. Ladies, I'm not saying there's one excuse in the world that your husband or anybody should be looking at pornography. It's not there. It's not in God's Word. I'm not making any excuses at all. But God has told ladies to show respect. I don't know how many of you remember the love and respect tapes that we had. We had classes on them here, and they were really good. And one thing that a man desires is respect. He desires the respect of his wife. And the Ephesians 5:22, it says to submit to your own husbands. Submit to your husbands. And that is the respect. And I realize this shows a responsibility that a man has, but also, ladies, sometimes this can help. This is a responsibility that you have. The Bible talks about it. And be receptive of his love. If you go to 1 Corinthians 7:2-5, Paul says a lot about the marriage relationship there. And that's one thing. A man's got an ego. Let me just put it that way. A man's got an ego. And ladies, you can burst the ego. Now, I know we're a proud bunch, and we don't like anybody to think that you're going to hurt us, but you can. A man has an ego, and you can help a man by boosting his ego now and then. 1 Peter 3:1-4, without a word, chaste conduct incorruptible beauty of a gentle, quiet spirit. Now, without a word, this is talking about a woman converting her husband to Christianity. And without a word doesn't mean without the word of God, but it means that quietness, that gentle spirit. Very briefly, I want to look at two others here. Young men. And this is one that we need to help our sons to realize. Young men, Ecclesiastes 12 and 1. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. We're talking about pornography. Don't look at it. Flee fornication. Flee also youthful lust and pursue righteousness, love, and peace. Youthful lust could very well be pornography. Ecclesiastes 11 and 9, and this is the one I'm going to read from the Bible, and this is really good. Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes. But know that for all these, God will bring you into judgment. Again, 1 Corinthians 6:18, flee fornication. There's always a way of escape. God will provide a way of escape. Get out of there. Flee fornication. And get some men that are good examples. A Joseph, a David, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. In Psalms 19 and 14, this is one that I tell you, this has been big in my life. All of my life, a beautiful psalm of David. Let me turn there. Can't think of it right now. Let the words of your mouth and the meditation of your heart be acceptable in thy sight, O God, my strength and my redeemer. This is one that was given to me as a young man, as I said, by a Sunday school teacher. And I carried it with me all my life, and I'd like to say that I followed that every day of my life. There were times that it got out of my mind. But I got to ask you something, and ask this to everybody. If you're letting the words of your mouth and the meditation in your heart be guided by God, how can you look at pornography? It's a good question. And then just briefly, young ladies, I'd just like to remind you of the chaste conduct there. This is big. And also I'd like to remind you that there is trouble that you can get yourself into so easy because, again, let me just show you something here one more time. There's something that can happen to you so easy. One picture in your life can almost be ruined if you allow one picture to be posted on the internet, on this phone right here. It can ruin your life. Don't let that happen. You have a desire to be attractive, to be popular, to have young men to notice you, to give you their attention. But let me tell you, you demand the respect. You don't give that away. You demand the respect. Don't give that opportunity for some young man to trick you, and all at once now, your life is almost ruined because of what's plastered on Facebook. I'd like to just close once again from what I said before. This is closing. If we're involved at looking at nudity or for exotic stimulation, it is shameful, wrong, and a sin. If pornography has led us to uncontrolled sexual lust, lasciviousness, then we are committing a sin that will keep us from inheriting the kingdom of God. And I tell you, this is big. This is something we need to take seriously. And if we're involved in these activities, we're on the road leading to, if we're not already there, fornication and adultery. This has not been a lesson that we've learned about what to do to become a Christian, but it's been a lesson that if we're involved in sins, we need to be changing our life, no matter where we are, whether we're a Christian or not. We need to be changing our lives. And we give you that opportunity as we sing this song of invitation.